Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello to everybody tuning in. We're a Boston Celtics fan site that covers everything Celtics. From the latest trade rumor, to that other trade rumor, to the Nets pick, and how exactly Danny Ainge got his free Chipotle for life card. No one knows, honestly. The pod covers all the same topics our site does, but a little more freely and from a weekly point of view. Best part of it all is that we're talking about all of this from a fan's perspective. This week is a little bit different, or today is a little bit different. Normally, we do game recaps, et cetera, but we'll take care of that on Sunday when our, you know, regular weekly pod drops. Today, we have a special pod. We figured that we'd do a special pod about Rookie of the Year, All-Defensive Team, and MVP, and Most Improved Player Awards, and nominations. And we're doing this because lately, and I say this as a result of, well, it seems to be as a result of Joel Embiid and his season-ending injury, there's a lot of discussion as to who should be the Rookie of the Year now. Some people seem to think that because Embiid is out for the year, you know, and he only played less than 30 games, if I'm not mistaken, that he shouldn't qualify for the award. So we do have a rookie on the team, Jaylen Brown. He's been playing pretty well as of late, so we're wondering if, you know, he can sneak in there, you know, get a few votes, who knows. Then we have Avery Bradley, who made all NBA first team last season, which is a pretty big deal, although he's, you know, he's been known as a probably one of the best, if not the best, on-ball defender in the league. But, you know, he's been out, well, he was out with an injury for quite a few games. So does he win a first team again, or does he get nominated as a first team again? Who knows? Isaiah Thomas, MVP talk, you know, that's nothing new. That's been going on for a few weeks now. And Isaiah Thomas potentially for Most Improved Player of the Year, although we haven't seen too much chatter about that just yet. Isaiah Thomas is, I would go as far to say that he's a significantly better player this year than he was at any point last year. So anyway, super long introduction, but we're just going to talk about those four awards, nominations, what have you, to see what's going on with that and whether or not we think any of these players should win these awards, or in Avery Bradley's case, be nominated to first or second team all defense. So first up, we'll talk about Rookie of the Year. Right now, Jaylen Brown is definitely not in the lead for the award. But I think that he, you know, he has a lot of ground to make up, but I think he can sneak in there and get a few votes. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, so, I mean, it might be a case of a little too late for Jalen, just with the fact that, I mean, beginning of the year, he wasn't really playing. And then he came on strong with Avery being out for a while. I mean, he was playing, you know, 20-something, 30 minutes a game some nights with him out, and he played really well. But, like, even if you look at his season average, he's only averaging for the entire season, I mean, take the whole thing into account, like 16 minutes a game. So, I mean, his scoring is like 6.5 points, whereas, you know, some of these other guys like Dario Saric of Philly is averaging 11.6, but he's also playing like 26 minutes a game too, you know? I think it's going to be too hard for him to catch some of these guys. I mean, even if you take Embiid out of it, I don't think they'll give Embiid the award, even though I think most people would agree that he's been the best player of all the rookies. I say that, but we'll get into that in a second. But, I mean, he's only going to have played 31 games in the season. I don't think you can give the award to that guy.
No. What do you think about it? It seems like usually the Rookie of the Year award goes to a rookie on a losing team.
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
No, I mean, well, the problem is too, I mean, those are the guys, because obviously they get the opportunity to play. And I mean, obviously, you can accumulate the minutes. I mean, the guys with the best stats win the award, you know? I mean, I guess if it was a close and it was a tiebreaker, and let's say you had, you know, similar numbers between a guy like Jalen and, you know, say we're talking about Saric, they, you know, then you could give the edge to the guy that's on the playoff team. But I don't think, you know, they take that into a perspective, unless I guess the efficiency numbers were off the charts too, you know? But I mean, you know, if a guy's scoring, you know, 12 points a game or whatever, and then another guy's, you know, averaging 6, but he's only playing, you know, like, I don't know. I guess you kind of have to give it to the guy that's gotten more of an opportunity to play.
Yeah, it is pretty frustrating because you can see it in Jaylen Brown, and obviously during the course of the season, with this increased minutes load, he's been getting more and more comfortable. And he seems to be a player that, like most players, I would say, that thrives when he's getting consistent minutes, as opposed to logging DNPs for 3 or 4 straight games and then being asked to come in and contribute.
Right, right.
You know. And put up 10, 15 points, 4 or 5 rebounds, whatever. But he's getting a lot. He's getting a lot more comfortable, and you know, he doesn't seem to be afraid at all of the NBA game and some of the players that he, you know, some of these all-stars that he's matching up with on a nightly basis. And I think that, you know, this is kind of looking back and projecting a little bit, but I think Danny Ainge, it was the right pick.
It seems like he totally nailed it. I mean, and you look at like Brandon Ingram, and who's gotten a chance to play this year. I mean, he's been starting and playing 26, 27 minutes a game for the Lakers, and I mean, he's been totally outplayed by Brown with the 3 spot, you know. And you know, maybe some of that's Brown's on a better team, so he gets better looks or better, you know, he's got better teammates. But at the same time, I mean, they all talked about this being a 2-man draft last year. And I think, you know, Jaylen Brown has definitely proven that this was not a 2-man draft.
Yeah. Do you think the Lakers are regretting their pick?
No, I mean, obviously it's too soon. You're not going to throw away, like, you're not going to say who's going to have the better career.
Yeah.
Based off their rookie year. But at the same time, you know, right. I mean, Jalen's made a case that, I mean, obviously Ben Simmons aside, nobody's seen him play yet. So we don't know what to expect. Obviously everyone has high hopes for him, but, like Jalen has made the case this year. Like Danny might've gotten the next second best player in this draft, you know, with the 3rd pick, you know? So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, obviously we'll look back on that 10 years from now and be able to figure that. But, I mean, that's at least encouraging. I mean, this kid can play for sure. And like you said, he's not scared of anybody. He's played LeBron well in a couple of matchups against him. And with Avery out and he got an opportunity to play, he's definitely played himself into the rotation, because now with Avery back, yeah, he might not be playing 30 minutes a game, but he's still going to be playing 20-something.
Yeah. If Jaylen Brown doesn't play or log any more than 25 minutes a game, is there any way he wins Rookie of the Year?
I don't know. I don't think he could catch some of the other guys ahead of him at this point, like Saric, Brogdon over there in Milwaukee. I mean, those guys, yeah, I mean, there's still a chance they could give it to Embiid based on his 31 games. I doubt it, but yeah, you know, that's kind of unprecedented, but
it would set a weird precedent.
To get into Embiid too is another thing. Like, I mean, yes, it's the first time he played this year, but he got drafted 3 years ago, you know? I mean, it's kind of hard for me to claim that guy's a rookie. I understand he hasn't played, but, you know, if you're injured and not playing, I mean, I don't understand how he can be considered a rookie. And, like, a guy, I don't know, it just doesn't seem right to me. He's had access to the team and he's practiced with this team for 3 years. I mean, that just doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, like you said, I don't want to get into this too much because this will take hours to talk about. But it's a little. I'm not on board with it either. It's like you said, he's had access to NBA ready facilities. He's had access to NBA trainers and gyms, and
I assume he's traveled with the team a good portion of it. I mean, I don't know myself how much he's been with the team during the last 3 years, but I assume he's had plenty of time to adjust, you know?
No, absolutely. As opposed to, again, somebody,
you know, a guy coming right out of school, you know?
Yeah, coming to Boston after his freshman year, no prior NBA experience. He's never been in an NBA locker room. He's never worked. Well, you know, again, we don't know, but let's just assume he's never worked with an NBA trainer, been in an NBA ready or style gym.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you compare the two players, but again, it's a difficult conversation. A lot of people will listen to this and say, well, no, he's a rookie. He's never actually played any NBA minutes, but I don't know.
And then the other, I guess you could compare that to, like, just like his teammate, Dario Saric, who also got drafted in that same draft. He has been overseas. So him coming here, you know, technically he was drafted a few years ago. But I would think the difference is he hasn't been around the team all that time. He's been on another team playing in Europe, you know? So I think it's a little different.
Yeah. But, all right. So it seems like...
I don't think Jaylen Brown has a chance to win the Rookie of the Year, but I think he has the opportunity to, at the end of the season, people look at it and say, he might have been the best player out of this draft that played this year anyway.
Yeah. Even if he's just a runner-up or...
Yeah, it would be cool. It would be cool to see, to see him land in the top three. And that's totally plausible with him. I mean, if Embiid is taken out of consideration for the lack of games, you have Saric and Brogdon, who's also putting together a pretty good season. I mean, Jaylen just very well could be like the third guy. So, yeah.
All right, let's just move on real quick. Avery Bradley, we know he was out for quite a few games, but like I said at the beginning of the pod, cast, he's obviously an extremely talented defender. I mean, we saw what he did against Kyrie Irving. In that matchup against the Cavs, like that's like some of the most beautiful defense I've ever seen in my life. And Kyrie Irving is, you know, he's not a scrub.
He's one of the best ball handlers in the league.
Yeah,
and a guy that can definitely find his own shot when he needs to.
He can make you look real funny.
Yes,
on any given night. Where Avery Bradley really held his own. But again, he was out for all these games. Last year, Avery Bradley was NBA all defensive team first team. Yeah, along with Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Draymond Green, and Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, Avery Bradley is still Avery Bradley. He's still a great defensive player. Mm-hmm. I know that he was out for a few games, or quite a few games. But I don't know how he doesn't, at the very least, get second team considerations. If he continues to play defense or put on these defensive shows like he did.
Yeah, I think the key is going to be how he closes out the stretch. I mean, if, like, let's say tonight, I mean, many of you might be listening to this tomorrow, but he's playing Golden State tonight. We're recording this before the game. You know, if he goes out and locks down Seth Curry or Klay Thompson, you know, or has some big moments of games on national TV, you get a little notoriety out of that. I think the one factor that might hurt him this year is, I mean, last year the Celtics defense was, what, top six in the league?
Yeah.
And this year we're, what, somewhere in the 20s?
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe a good portion of that is that Bradley has been out for so long. I mean, he's missed over a quarter of the season. He missed 23 games so far. But I think that they weren't playing great defensively even before he got, you know, hurt. So
yeah, I think that the reason for the defensive drop off, and not to get into this too much, maybe we can get into this on Sunday actually, is I think it's kind of, and I hate to say this because it's going to sound a little funny, but I think it's on Isaiah Thomas, and not in the sense that, you know, he's not the best defender in the world, but because of his increased workload and this dependence on him to score, there's been more emphasis on scoring than there has been on defense.
Yeah, I think it just has to do with a lot. The offense in general has become, you know, more potent on offense. They're running a fast pace, and, you know, there's maybe more opportunities for the defense to score because they're doing that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But they're certainly, you know, they haven't been what we saw last year where they were gritty and tough. I mean, we've seen it at times, but hopefully with, I mean, Horford's back for the game tonight, and hopefully we can get a string of games together here with the whole team healthy and see if they can ratchet it up, you know, before we head into the playoffs. But yeah. I think of all the postseason awards, the most likely is that Avery Bradley still gets first team all defense. I think he's locked to get the second team. And then, you know, Chris Paul is a perennial guy, so he'll likely be the other guard. It seems like they try to do a point guard and a shooting guard every year. I don't know if that's completely, you know, the case, but I mean, obviously there's two guards going to be on the team. So I think there's a good chance that he gets that other spot. I mean, Tony Allen's always in the conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a terrific defender too. But I think of all the postseason awards, that Avery Bradley getting first team all defense is probably, you know, more likely than the rest of them.
But that's like definitely contingent on him producing
right down the stretch. I mean, obviously, because we didn't really see, not that we didn't see his defense, but, you know, it wasn't really being talked about at the beginning of the year. The Celtics weren't playing great defensively. But after what we saw last week, like you talked about with Kyrie, you know, if he has a few more games like that on the national stage, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know what the exact criteria is that they use for the all defensive teams. I'm sure a lot of it is, you know, watching a guy just lock people down like that, you know. Yeah. But I don't know how much of it plays into how well that team's defense is too, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think the overall makeup and just like the general face of the Celtics is very different this year compared to last year. Last year they were definitely a defense first team. This year, again, like I sort of hinted at before, there's been a lot more emphasis on the offense. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, the defense has taken quite a few steps back, but I wouldn't say that it's all bad.
No,
it can be.
Right. We've seen it be very bad at times.
Yeah, like the Hawks.
Right.
Yeah, but rebounding has...
But right. I mean, we've seen them turn it up, you know, and there's a lot of good defenders on the team. So I think that has a lot more to do with the way that they play rather than the ability of the guys to
defend,
you know? Because absolutely, you would figure that Al Horford is an upgrade by far defensively over Jared Solinger.
And, oh, yeah.
I mean, he helps on both sides of the floor, but I would say particularly defensively versus Solinger. And then, I mean, we still have all those other great defenders in Crowder. Marcus Smart's a bulldog.
And obviously Avery Bradley, like you said, if not definitely the best on ball defender in the league right now.
I would throw Terry Rozier in there too.
Yeah, well, he's a good defender. I mean,
he's evolving. Yeah,
definitely a plus. I mean, he's you know, not awful for sure. He's definitely good, above average, I'd say.
All right, so you're saying Avery Bradley first team, worst case scenario second team.
Yeah, like I think he's a lock to make the second team just because. Yeah. I mean, what other defender? I mean, Tony Allen comes to mind, but I mean, who else is going to be? I mean, sometimes Paul George gets some recognition there, but I don't think the Pacers are playing well enough for that.
No, I think he's out.
So that would be my guess.
Yeah, I agree. I think he gets second team on reputation alone.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Again, if he has showings like he's Kyrie Irving, right,
he could definitely slip back in there.
I think it'll be fine. All right. So, last one or two, depending on how you want to look at it, MVP and most improved player. Most improved player, like I said at the beginning, is something that hasn't been discussed. It's not like the sexiest award. But if anything, I think it's probably the award that holds the most weight, in my opinion, at least, because it means so much. I mean, MVP does too, obviously, but I don't know. Most improved player is, I think, a big deal. By this point, if you follow the NBA pretty closely or not, the main MVP candidates right now seem to be... or up until about 2 weeks ago, seemed to be Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Now, all of a sudden, we got Kawhi Leonard creeping in there. And I think it's mostly due to his defensive efforts. But people were talking about Isaiah Thomas as MVP for a minute there. He cracked a few MVP watch lists. Came in at like third and fourth on some. I think he's a long shot. I honestly don't know how you don't give it to Russell Westbrook. He's literally carrying that team. But then again, nobody seems to know, and they were talking about this on ESPN earlier today, nobody seems to agree on what the MVP or what the MVP award means.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this is obviously very subjective. But if I was giving the award out, I just don't see how you don't give it to Russell Westbrook. It would be nice if Isaiah Thomas finished second or third. But going against a guy that's about to average a triple-double for the entire season, that's a hard matchup.
Yeah, I think the only person that you can make a case really against Russ is maybe James Harden, you know, who's very close. I mean, he doesn't quite have the triple-double stats, but, I mean, he's still scoring 29 a game and leads the league in assists, which is bananas. I'm playing, like, point forward over there. He's been a little more efficient than Russ shooting, I mean, and, you know, especially from three, where Russ is only shooting, like, 33, almost 34%, and Harden's shooting 36%, but... and then, like you said, Leonard has been phenomenal. I mean, the way he impacts the game on both sides of the floor is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's quite something. I mean, I don't think there are enough Spurs games on TV for people to like really.
Yeah,
I mean, because seeing highlights
mm-hmm.
is one thing, but like watching him affect the flow of a game.
I mean, it's
pretty crazy.
Right, and like when we say like. Best on-ball defender being Avery Bradley, that's definitely in terms of guards and smaller players, because if we're talking about bigger players, Kawhi's the guy. I mean, he is like a glove on people. He's pretty incredible to watch.
Yeah. Isaiah Thomas is definitely up to scoring since last year. He's at 29.5.
Yeah, he's up like, what was he? He was scoring like 22 a game last year. So yeah, that's a pretty big... I mean, he's probably one of, if not the front runner for most improved player he was an all-star last year, but to go from that to, you know, an MVP candidate, I mean, legitimately, he's top five at worst, you know, in the MVP. You could put LeBron ahead of him because LeBron is essentially the almost really the MVP every year, but he's been pretty good this year and really efficient. But at worst, I mean, you'd have to say Isaiah's like fifth, you know, which is right. Which is, I mean, that's pretty impressive for a guy that, you know, snuck onto the All-Star team last year, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think he deserves very, very strong consideration for most improved player. I mean, he went from last year, people sort of being on board with him being an All-Star, like, hey, Isaiah Thomas is pretty good. We don't know if he's an All-Star.
Right. Borderline, you know, made the team, maybe, you know?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Yep.
But this year, he's like,
I mean, yeah, he was a slam dunk. I mean, it was – he got burned not starting that game. And, you know, and whatever. And the thing – like, think about this. People say, you know, Isaiah, maybe he doesn't put up all the other numbers that other people put up in terms of assists. Although 6.2 a game is nothing to, like, slouch at. I mean, that's solid. He's probably, like, 15th or 16th in the league in assists, which is solid. And obviously he doesn't get the rebounds. He's a little guy. But, like, think about this. Russ Wilson – Russell Westbrook, I'm sorry, wrong sport. He's shooting 42%, 33% from three, right? That's overall, right? Those are not great efficient numbers in either category. And then you have Isaiah, he's shooting 46% from the field and 38% from three. I mean, so like, yes, Russell Wilson might be scoring a few more points than him, and obviously racking up all those assists and rebounds are huge. But he's not as an efficient scorer as Isaiah, and that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, you bring up Westbrook, and it kind of worries me that Westbrook has also made this pretty massive year-to-year improvement. It kind of worries me that voters will be inclined to give him both MVP and Most Improved Player.
Yeah, but he was an MVP candidate, like, the last few years, too, though. I mean, even though he was more, like, you know, maybe the fifth or sixth guy, he was usually in the conversation.
Yeah, he's always been a solid player.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know that that's as much of a jump. I mean, he's been given more opportunity with Durant not there, obviously. And, you know, so obviously his numbers went through the roof. And, I mean, I think it's going to him or Harden just based on the numbers right now, unless something catastrophic happens. But if Russ gets the triple double, averages the triple double, I think it's going to be hard for them not to give it to him.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can make a case for Harden though. He's on a better team and carrying them a little further, and he's just as much the guy on his team as Russ is on his. You know.
This is going to be a tough down to the wire race, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's
you have so many players. Well, you have two players doing some pretty unprecedented stuff for their teams. The only difference being that Westbrook's Thunder squad is just not nearly as good as James Harden's Rockets squad. But yeah, and then you have Kawhi there doing what he just does every day, flying under the radar.
Right, and then LeBron is just LeBron. I mean, he's always in the conversation because, you know, he might not score as many points and he might not have as many assists and many rebounds, but he does it more efficiently than the other guys, which means he, you know, and he's a guy that kind of puts it on cruise control. I mean, he's not so much concerned with MVPs and all that stuff.
No.
He wants to get healthy in the postseason, and that's where he wants to do his damage, you know?
Yeah. LeBron seems to win these MVPs, like, by default now. Mm-hmm. Everybody expects him to be the best player in the league, but I think he has to move over for the next few seasons because it seems like there are a few players that are just, like, ready to take over.
Yeah.
Westbrook, Harden, Kawhi, Thomas. But, yeah. MVP for Isaiah Thomas seems like a long shot, but I think we both agree that Most Improved Player seems like a pretty solid.
Solid. I mean, I can't think of anybody else that comes to mind that.
No, I can't either.
As I'm trying to think of guys that like made the All-Star team for the first time and stuff, but no one is like bowling me over like thinking, you know. So I think he's got a good shot at that, anyways.
Yeah. Anything else? Any other
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Oh, that's who I was thinking. I was like, there's some guy on the Jazz. George Hill is somebody that I could also see sort of sneaking in there. I mean, his points per jumped from 12.1 points to 17.6 points per game. And Utah is playing pretty well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So most improved player generally seems to go to a player that's points per average has jumped considerably from one year to another. So I think that's one person to monitor. I only say this again because the Jazz are playing pretty well. He might have something to do with that. But yeah, my vote goes to...
Oh, another guy, too, we didn't mention. Giannis...
Antetokounmpo.
I didn't want to butcher it, but yes, he's gone up. He made his first All-Star game this year, and
which is crazy.
And he was in the MVP race for quite a while too. I mean, he's kind of fallen off as of late. He's out of the top five or so, but I mean, he's been having a terrific season too.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's another guy that might be in the running for that too.
But. Yeah, Antetokounmpo was the kind of player. Looks like the kind of guy that is just. It is literally going to be the face of the NBA. Yeah.
I mean, dude, he's only 22. I mean, this guy.
I feel like he's probably going to be better than Anthony Davis.
Yep.
And you see how good Anthony Davis. Right.
This kid's going to be dynamic, though. He's pretty good.
He's like an all.
He's a great ball handler too. For a guy that's 6'11".
Yeah, he's like 8 feet tall and. He runs around like Rondo. It's nuts. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So nay for Jaylen Brown Rookie of the Year. Seems like it's probably too late,
but he still might be the best player.
Yeah, Avery Bradley, at least a lock for second team.
Yeah, I can't see him not getting that. Even missing 20-something games, you know?
Nay for Isaiah Thomas for MVP, but yes for most improved player. I like that. I mean, it's something.
Mm-hmm.
It's something. I mean, the Celtics have been playing pretty well this year, and I think somebody deserves some sort of award.
Yeah, give them some awards.
Yeah, but I think Boston fans will... be ready to give them awards once they get out of the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll take a ribbon for that, for sure.
Yeah. All right, guys, so you can check out the links on the top of CelticsLife.com. We have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in our store, and you can get tickets to the Celtics' next game under that heading. You can find this special podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Block Talk Radio, SoundCloud, and Mixcloud. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And as always, if you like this midweek podcast and you would like to hear more of them, as opposed to just like one weekly podcast on Sundays as a general weekly review, let us know. We're toying with the idea of making this a permanent thing. You know, based on how the weeks play out, we can focus in on one or two topics and just talk about them for 20 minutes or so. But yeah, let us know. Comment section, let us know how we did. Let us know what you want to hear. And yeah, hopefully the Celtics can beat the Warriors tonight. That'll be a good game.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.